The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that flies the flag of history every day of the week. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're talking about the story behind one of the most reproduced photographs in history, taken at the site of one of the bloodiest battles of World War II. The day was February 23rd, 1945. During the Battle of Iwo Jima, six Marines planted the U.S. flag at the summit of Mount Suribachi. The scene was captured by photojournalist Joe Rosenthal, who was covering the battle for the Associated Press. He immediately sent the image to be processed in Guam, and within 2 days, it was published on the front pages of newspapers all over the United States. The striking photo sparked a wave of optimism among Americans, giving them hope that the Pacific War might be nearing its end. It's now considered one of the most recognized and perfectly composed news photos of the 20th century. But what many people don't realize is that the flag shown in this iconic image wasn't the first one to be raised on Iwo Jima that day. In early 1945, the American Armed Forces were several years into their so-called island-hopping campaign. The goal was to retake the Pacific by capturing various strategically important islands, thus cutting off Japanese supply chains and allowing the U.S. to gradually advance towards the Japanese mainland, all without engaging in large, decisive battles. Iwo Jima was one of the islands targeted, as its position less than 700 miles southeast of Tokyo made it an ideal site from which to launch an aerial assault. Of course, Japanese forces recognized this utility as well, and they were determined to keep the tiny volcanic island from falling into the hands of their enemies. Japanese troops spent the better part of a year fortifying Iwo Jima against an Allied invasion. They built hidden artillery positions far inland and carved a network of tunnels into the mountainside, linking together a series of reinforced underground bunkers. These fortifications were meant to defend the island against any American soldiers who dared to storm its black sand beaches. But Japan's first line of defense was its kamikaze bombers, who would attack the American fleet before it could even land. On February 19, 1945, three U.S. Marine divisions managed to breach the island of Iwo Jima, only to find a heavily entrenched garrison of 22,000 Japanese soldiers waiting for them. The Marines sustained heavy casualties over the next few days, with much of the artillery fire raining down from the summit of Mount Suribachi, a dormant volcano on the island's southern tip. At a height of roughly 550 feet, it was the highest point on the island, and a perfect vantage point for laying down suppressive fire. The Marines quickly realized that if they were to have any hope of securing Iwo Jima, they would have to capture Suribachi. But even though the island was only 5 miles long and 2.5 miles wide, it would take them several days to work their way far enough inland to reach the mountain's base. Finally, on February 23rd, the men of the 2nd Battalion, 28th Marines, succeeded in capturing Mount Suribachi. A 40-man combat control, led by 1st Lieutenant Harold G. Schreier, was the first American unit to reach the peak. They carried with them a U.S. flag borrowed from the USS Missoula, a transport ship that had delivered troops and cargo to Iwo Jima at the start of the siege. Schreier had been ordered to raise the flag if he should reach the top, and at about 10:30 a.m. local time, he and two other Marines did exactly that. The triumphant moment was photographed by Staff Sergeant Lewis Lowry, a photojournalist who was on assignment for an armed forces magazine called Leatherneck. The flag from the Missoula was the first to fly over Japanese home territory in World War II, and the sight of it set off a mass celebration among American forces. The hundreds of ships surrounding Iwo Jima blew their horns and sirens in triumph, and battered Marines all over the island cheered and fired their guns into the air. Unfortunately, all the noise drew the attention of Japanese soldiers near the peak, provoking a firefight right beneath the flag. Sergeant Lowry dove for cover and wound up smashing his camera in the process, so when the fighting ceased, he went back down the mountain to get some fresh equipment. Along the way, he crossed paths with a fellow photojournalist, Joe Rosenthal, and two Marines, Private First Class Bob Campbell, who was also a photographer, and Sergeant William Janost, who was a motion picture cameraman. Lowry couldn't help but gloat, telling the men they had missed the big moment and that the flag had already been raised. Somewhat deflated, the group decided to continue up anyway to enjoy the view, and once they reached the top, they were thrilled to find that they might not have missed their chance after all. The first flag raising had such a positive effect on troop morale that Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Chandler Johnson ordered a second, larger flag to be raised over the battlefield. That way, even the soldiers on the northern side of Suribachi would be able to easily see it. The replacement flag was delivered by a different transport ship, the USS LST-779, and it measured 56 inches tall and 96 inches wide. A group of Marines was just about to raise the second flag when Rosenthal, Campbell, and Janost reached the peak. The AP photographer leapt into action and just barely managed to capture the important moment using his speed graphic camera. He didn't even have time to check the shot through the viewfinder. He just pointed, clicked, and hoped for the best. You've no doubt seen the resulting image, which shows six Marines struggling to hoist the heavy flagpole into position. At least two of the men in the photo were misidentified for decades after the war, but according to recent research, the Marines pictured are Harlan Block, Harold Keller, Ira Hayes, Harold Schultz, Franklin Sousley, and Michael Strank. Tragically, Block, Sousley, and Strank would be killed in action in the weeks ahead. The capture of Mount Suribachi had secured only the southern tip of Iwo Jima, and it would take another month of combat for the Marines to take control of the rest. By the time the fighting ended on March 24th, more than 6,000 Americans had been killed, and roughly three times as many had been wounded. The Japanese garrison, however, suffered even greater casualties, with only 200 of the original 22,000 left alive. During that time, and for many years after, Joe Rosenthal waged a very different kind of battle. His photo had been seen by people all over the world and was even used in a highly successful ad campaign for war bonds, helping to raise $26 billion in the final months of the war. The famous photo was so inspiring and so visually striking that Rosenthal was awarded that year's Pulitzer Prize for photography. Normally, the prize board only considered entries from the previous calendar year for the prizes, but in Rosenthal's case, it made an exception, issuing the award just a little over 2 months after the photo was taken. Not everyone was a fan, however. Almost immediately after its publication, many in the public, including Lewis Lowry, began to question the legitimacy of Rosenthal's photo. Had he actually managed to snap the picture from the perfect angle at the exact right second, or had he staged the whole thing? The question was settled easily enough thanks to the motion picture footage shot by Sergeant William Janost. But even with solid proof that the photo had been taken in the heat of the moment, rumors continued to swirl for years after it was released. Lowry and Rosenthal did eventually mend fences, though, with Lowry later confirming that the image, which had supplanted his own, was not posed in advance. Newly vindicated, the photo continued to hold a grip on the American public, so much so that 9 years after World War II ended, it became the model for the Marine Corps War Memorial in Arlington, Virginia. President Dwight D. Eisenhower dedicated the memorial on November 10, 1954, the 179th anniversary of the U.S. Marine Corps. The bronze monument depicts six 32-foot-high figures raising a real fabric flag attached to a 60-foot flagpole. The flag flies 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, by order of a presidential proclamation from John F. Kennedy. Joe Rosenthal had quickly photographed the Marines with no way of knowing how the image would turn out. He realized its full significance only after it was developed, and less than 2 weeks later, he shared his conclusion in a statement for the Associated Press. "The Marine history," he wrote, "will record Iwo Jima as high as any in their many gallant actions in the Pacific. I have two very vivid memories, the fury of their D-Day assault and the thrill of that lofty flag-raising episode. It is hard now, in the quiet atmosphere of this advanced base, to find words for it. The Marines at Iwo Jima were magnificent." I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider keeping up with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, or you can get in touch directly by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again soon for another day in history class.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.